Mother's Day provides the perfect background for the text that we are in our study of Romans chapter 8. Howard A. Kelly, a medical doctor, dedicated his book, A Scientific Man and the Bible, to my first and best friend, guide of my youth, inspiration and strength of my mature years, and crown of my approaching 70, my mother. How true that is. I love this poem, Mother, that precious name, forevermore the same, earth's greatest word, though ages past have flown. No sound was ever known like that dear name alone, or ever heard. From childhood's earliest day, she guarded all our way with tenderest care. She shared our every woe, each cherished hope did know, heard every whisper low of childish prayer. Our mother, God, to thee in deep humility we lift our praise. Keep those we love the best through every trial and test, and may they ever rest safe in thy care. The depth of response of each one of us, if we had a good mother, is beyond what words can even properly describe. One writer said it well, mother is the name for God in the lips and hearts of little children. Father and mother, of course, but the mother who has such a deep, ongoing, round-the-clock role in the development of little children. And as I said, this is a wonderful backdrop for a verse that is probably one of the most well-known verses in all of Scripture to Christians. But as we think of motherhood and we think of the care and the working to meet all the needs of a child by a mother, this verse, it comes alive even more as we think of how God has that heart and, of course, much greater for us. He gave that heart to a mother. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Don't have time to review, but this great section of scripture from Romans 6 to Romans 8 speaks of the great victory that Christians have. We're dead to sin. We're dead to the law externally. We have the law written in our hearts and the power of God to live like Christ. And then the great freedom from condemnation and bondage through the working of the Holy Spirit and all of the needs that we have in this life. And in the last message, we looked at the tremendous privilege we have of the Spirit of God knowing our weakness and enabling us to pray and praying on our behalf. And He prays for us according to the will of God. It is just one of the most thrilling things to realize all that God does for us. And as a capstone, we get to verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, in the whole context here, we see how God is bringing to fruition the inheritance that He has purchased for us through Jesus Christ, our identification with Him. And when we trust Christ as Savior, becomes a reality as the Spirit of God works in our weaknesses and strengthens us and transforms us to ultimately, as we'll look the following week, to the great calling that we have to be glorified in Christ Jesus. There is a mighty and powerful work going on by the triune God in every believer who is here today. It's ongoing day by day and moment by moment. And so this verse needs to be just embraced in the fullness of its meaning. And in the few moments that we have, let's just look at it. First of all, we need to have confidence in God regarding this great truth. And we know. We know. Now, who's the we? First of all, we need to realize that this confidence is the believer's privilege. This is not everyone's privilege. Now let me say, God is constantly working on drawing people to Himself. The Holy Spirit is endeavoring to convince people of sin, righteousness, and judgment to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But as far as God working together for good in our lives, this is for those who know Christ as Savior. Only believers can have this great confidence. The great prince of preachers of the last century, the 1800s, Charles Haddon Spurgeon preached a great message from a very short text. And we've already been over that in verse 17 of this chapter. If children, then heirs. I mean, all of these promises are for believers, for his children. Now, he wants the whole world to be his children. But those who actually are able to call him Father and have that love as we revel in with our fathers and mothers and all of that care, it is only for those who are truly the children of God. Quote, if children, then heirs. The truth and force of those words are very important, and yet many expositors have stripped them of what they say. The words did not say, if creatures, then heirs. Many people think that we're in the family of God, but the Bible does not say that we are heirs just because we are his creation. Neither does the text say, if children of Abraham, then heirs. That is what many Israelites believed. They thought they were automatically children of God because they were children of Abraham. However, to some of them, Jesus said, ye are of your father, the devil. The text also rules out baptism, church membership, confirmation, and other works and rites. We must be spiritually born into God's family. If children, even the poor of this world are, they are heirs of the kingdom. Now we're going to look at the greatest promise outside of salvation in the entire Word of God. My heart is stirred as I think anytime I get up in front of a crowd, there is usually someone that does not know Christ. And my friends, this working in the lives of people, which is so precious, so much an evidence of God's love, is not for those who are not his children, but we. For this is one of those realities, and we know, we can know, but you must have trusted Christ. How did he become a child of God? John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. My friend, God is not going to allow us to take any glory in the great salvation of our souls. If we're depending on anything we've done or our goodness or any kind of religious exercises, that is going to take away from the glory of God. My friend, Jesus Christ, the creator of the world, the second person of the Trinity, came to this earth and died on the cross, he being the only way that this lost race could be redeemed. And my friend, he suffered beyond what we can even imagine. He took the full hell of our judgment upon him upon the cross. It was so bad that he screamed out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And at that moment, every sin I've ever committed or will commit, and same for you, was paid for by Jesus. He took our place. He rose again in victory and in power. And my friends, you have to receive him. You do not earn him. The glory goes to Jesus, not to us. And my friend, if you want that wonderful joy moment by moment that all things are working together for good, you've got to be part of that we, the children of God. But it's very important, those that know Christ, that you've got to believe that this is true. It is true, regardless of where we are as believers, but there are some things we're going to see in just a moment that we have to understand are going to be key if we're going to see the fullness of what God wants to do. Pastor Moore tells of a story of a little boy. He was swimming one day and began to have physical difficulty and could swim no farther. The little boy was struggling for his life. He'd gone under twice when he felt the strong arm of a man lifting him. The man had seen the little boy's desperate plight and had swum out to save him. The man took the boy safely to shore, and after making certain everything was well, he turned to leave. The little boy said, "Thank you, sir, for saving my life." The man replied, "You're welcome, son. See to it that you are worth saving." Those words never left that little boy, and he became a mighty preacher of the gospel. And a good question for every believer should be, am I worth saving? Now, again, we have no worth in of ourselves, but my friends, being the children of God, knowing we have the indwelling Spirit of God in us, understanding that God, the triune God, is working all the time to transform us and to deliver us from the curse of this life, and in this life show forth his glory by making us into his image. We've got to determine that this is what life is about and believe that God can do it. It needs to be, we need to have a subtle knowledge. Folks, God knows what he's doing. And we need to have the believer's assurance, a settled knowledge and a growing confidence. You know, the more a child is with their parent, their mother, they know they can count on their mother to take care of them. There is a deep peace, rest, and confidence in the child of a good mother who's faithful and does what she ought to do. And that's what happens for us as believers. The more we trust him, the more we see God work. And we ought to be living with a deep, just, full assurance that God is working in our lives. I often quote Romans 15:13. "Now the God of hope," that's the word for confident expectation, "fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in this confident expectation through the power of the Holy Ghost." So there needs to be a life of confidence. Christian friend, if you know the Lord as your Savior and you're confident in your salvation, you ought to be as confident in the fact that every day is a great day that God is using. And live without the fear that marks a lost world. Secondly, the providence of God. God is in full control. And back to verse 28. "And we know," what? "That all things work together for good." God has everything under his control. He's the creator and the sustainer. Colossians 1 verse 16. "By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." The same one who spoke the universe into being is the one who is controlling all that is going on. That's a wonderful blessing. As you pray in the morning, it's just great to go over these truths and know that he is in control. Now, our world doesn't think so. You may remember years ago when the Russians put a satellite into outer space, their main magazine wrote, "That creation, from a communist point of view, is at last under new management." Well, of course, the Soviet Union crumbled, but God did not. And the fact is, folks, God is in control. And it's a wonderful thing to know. He is immutable. He is unchanging. He has all power. He is sovereign. He is in control. Nothing is missed by the Lord. There are stories of believers over and over where his miraculous intervention has shown how he has taken the hardest of circumstances and used them to develop believers, to protect them and work. Bernard Gilpin was accused of heresy back in London for believing what we believe, and suffered for it. And he was taken to London for trial. And his favorite maxim was, "All things are for the best." Well, on his journey, he broke his leg. Somebody scorned and said, "Is all for the best now?" He said, "I still believe so. I believe what the Bible says." And it proved out to be true, because he couldn't resume his journey for a few more days. And actually, it was several weeks. And when he finally was able to resume his journey, Queen Mary had died. And a whole new government had been established. All things work together for good. God is working his glorious purpose. Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Every circumstance of life. My friends, life is not easy. It's wonderful. God's given us many things freely to enjoy as believers. But it's because we live in a cursed world, a cursed existence, because of the many issues that are part of that reality, life is a challenge. And for a believer who loves the Lord and knows and is trusting the Lord, for that believer, God is taking every circumstance, and if we are believing him, he is working that to the ultimate end, which means whether you have a quote-unquote good day or a quote-unquote bad day, you can be confident. It's very important that you have that confidence that God is working his purpose. Now, we all know the Bible says that, right? The question is, do you believe it? You see, if you believe it, you have a rest in your soul. You know that God's going to keep working in your life. You know that God's going to keep strengthening you, that you are going to have victory over strongholds, that God is going to take those down, those situations of life that are hard, that are burdensome, and make them a tremendous stepping stone to the next realm of growth and maturity in your life. He will do that. In fact, I've got to say this right, but even the consequences that come from confessed sin, he will use. I'm not saying the consequences from unconfessed sin. He'll certainly endeavor to get to us with that. But if you really get right with God, God can even take the brokenness that has occurred because of what you've been through and use it in the shaping of you to be conformed to the image of his dear son. An old man once dreamed unhappily about his past. He saw before him a long list of the things which were wrong that he had done. And he was sorry and ashamed. He had repented of those. In his dream, he was about to seize a sponge and rub these things out of his biography, when to his amazement, he discovered that wherever there were deeds of gold shining through the story of his life, there had been there also the regret and sorrow over past transgressions. And he began to realize that if he wiped out those things, he would at the same time destroy the nobleness and beauty of what God had done in his life through them. And certainly sin is never what we want. But when we are broken and God is able to just deal with us and we agree with God, that's one of the greatest hope in a Christian's life, is God does work all things together for good. I'm telling you, broken past can turn into a tremendous testimony for a powerful future if you agree with God. All things, it didn't say just some things, all things work together. And that means that you can have a, just instead of that shame that comes and that hopelessness that comes because of past situations, friend, if you've really gotten right with God and you'd agreed with God and you've allowed the Spirit of God to be in control of your life, get rid of what Satan is saying to you. Get rid of that shame. Yes, we grieve over what we've done, but God is able to use you because nothing is ever of ourselves anyway. It's all of the grace of God. And you have a future that can be glorious because God is glorious. And so we need to realize that God is able to work his masterpiece even when he has to pick up broken pieces of pottery, so to speak, of our life. And the stains that have come because of wrong choices that certainly have hurt the cause of Christ. But if we turn to him and walk by faith, God will take every trial and every situation like that, if we trust him, and make us into the man and woman of God that he wants us to be. That's really shouting ground when you think about what God can do. But I've got to conclude with this. Number three, there are conditions that are set by God. First of all, we have to know him. We know. You've got to be a believer, a child of God. And then there are two conditions here. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Do we love God? You see, if we're not open to the Lord's leading, he will still work, but we are checking him at key places and times in our life that God could bring us into more understanding, could direct us into the path of his perfect will. But if we love this world, if we love our own lives, if we love what we want to do more than we love God, then we miss out. Even though we're a believer, and even though God's graciously working, we're going to miss the perfect plan of God in our life to achieve in us all that he wants to do. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll cherish my commandments. You will embrace my words. You will love what I've told you because you love me. You will trust that what I have told you is really true. If you have a godly mother or father, you trust what they say because you know that what they're telling you is right. And God is perfect, and Jesus deserves our love. And my friends, so many believers who are truly saved end up empty and bankrupt and never experience the fullness of God's grace, the fullness of God's purpose, the tremendous eternal victories that he wants to accomplish through that person's life because they just love something else. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, for this is the first commandment. We are not to have any graven image in our heart. That's part of that commandment. What do we love? A great painter was putting the finishing touches on the face of Christ in one of his paintings, and an admiring friend stepped quietly into the studio. He looked with bated breath upon the painting. He sensed the presence and said, "Pardon, madame, I did not know you were here." She said, "Well, you must love him very much to be able to paint him thus." "Love him, madame? I do love him, but if I loved him better, I would paint him better." If we loved Christ better, we would indeed serve him better. And my friends, you say, "Well, things don't work together for me that way as a believer." May I submit to you, if you're truly a believer, you're making it difficult for God because he will not go around your will. And when your will is not set on him in love, but instead on what you want, and you are stubbornly going about your way, he's constantly having to deal with more and more broken things and less opportunity to really accomplish what he wants to do in our lives. And it's amazing how we'll blame God instead of understanding that it was us. And then the latter part of this verse says not only that we should love him, but that that are called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for us that is seen in the next couple of verses, and we should desire that purpose. In other words, whenever you cooperate, when children cooperate with their parents and give them their heart, there is so much that those parents can do for those children. And when we as the children of God love him and cooperate with him and do not get down our own pathways of will, but really do love him, then God can do great things. Can you honestly say your purpose in life is lined up with his purpose in life? Is that what you really desire? You see, when I said all things work together for good, you got to believe that. It's real. It's exciting. You say, "I know the Bible says that, but it could well be the problem is, my friend, the love's not there. The commitment to his purpose is not there. And as a result, you're constantly seeing things that God never intended to happen in your life. Now, he'll turn around and work on it. He is such a patient father, so gracious and good. But my friends, those mysteries are not God's fault. Those perplexities of life, God will be able to answer them. But if you aren't walking with God, you're not going to get that answer. So these conditions are very real. To love God and those that want his purpose. Yes, mothers, there is an eye that never seems to sleep beneath the wing of night. There is an ear that never shuts when sinks the beams of light. There is an arm that never tires when human strength gives way. There is a love that never fails when earthly loves decay. We all know that kind of commitment. Now let's place that to our Heavenly Father. There is an eye that never sleeps beneath the wing of night. There is an ear that never shuts when sinks the beams of light. There is an arm that never tires when human strength gives way. There is a love that never fails when earthly loves decay. My friends, here on this Mother's Day, I can't think of a better day for us to be sensitive to the reality that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. My friends, we need to believe that. God is ready right now to do a magnificent work in your life. He proved that He wants by dying on the cross for us, all that He has gone through. The Spirit of the living God lives inside of you if you're a believer. You have everything you need, the resource of the completed Word of God and the third person of the Trinity within you, and God the Father and God the Son intricately involved in your life, your individual life. Don't you think we ought to love Him? Don't you think the smartest thing is to say, Lord, I want your purpose. Because then I can know all things work together for good. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord here this morning, how many of you here today would be able to say, Pastor, I know I am saved. I'm so thankful for that. I had a time when I trusted Christ. I realized it wasn't me, it wasn't my works, it wasn't my religious works, it was Christ alone. And I am so thankful. I have deep peace in my heart. It wasn't a religious exercise. I truly trusted Christ. With heads bowed, would you be willing to give that testimony by just slipping your hand up and then putting it right down? All right, you can put those down. That's a beautiful sight. All right. Now, those of you that raised the hand, and I do ask that let's keep our eyes, heads bowed, eyes closed, because I want this to be something private to allow God to work in hearts. But you'd say, Pastor Van Gelderen, I raised my hand. But you know, I do find myself at times just wondering, is this really working out? Where's God? Why am I so unhappy? Or maybe it's not a matter of being unhappy, but there's an emptiness there, and you've got questions, and you wonder what God is doing. And you know that shouldn't be that way. But you'd say, Pastor, I realize that I need to love God more. I need to line up completely with His purpose. I need to realize I've got a God that'll take care of me. I can live every day with the deepest of rest and peace in my heart, knowing I've got a God that's going to work everything for good, even the consequences of my repented sin. And I want to keep that kind of heart. And God has dealt with me about the fact I need to love Him moment by moment, day by day. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up here today as a believer if that's God's working in your heart? I just need to love Him more. God bless you. This is how we ought to live. We ought to have great confidence. Now, there may be some here that couldn't lift your hand with any real assurance about salvation. I'm glad you were honest about that. My friend, God's ready to do a marvelous work in your life, but you've got to start by trusting Him alone as Savior. And I want to encourage you right now, here on this Mother's Day, what a wonderful day to trust Jesus. Jesus died for you. He rose again. Salvation is personal. It is between you and Him, and He's ready to save you now. We're here just to help you. This church does not save. It's God who does. But we've got the wonderful message of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. And you'd say, Pastor, I realize, I can sense in my heart that God loves me. He wants to do these wonderful things. I know He's touched my life before, but I do not know for sure I'm a child of God, that I could be part of that we know. And I know there's an ache or an emptiness in my heart, and I'm willing to be honest about that, along with these others that have raised their hand. I'd like to be just honest before God. I want Him to see that I'm burdened about this, and I'd appreciate your prayer for me. With no one looking, would you slip your hand up and join these others? Just slip it up till I can see it, then you can put it down. No one else is looking. All right, God bless you. Anyone else? God's working in my heart. I really do want to get this settled. This is important. Would you pray for me? Anyone else here today? We'll take just a moment and allow you to grapple with this. Lord, would you work in hearts? I thank you for your truth. Thank you for this great promise. And Lord, I pray that you'll accomplish your will now in these final moments. Would you work in the hearts of these that raise their hand, both for the matter of really loving you and trusting you, and also this one about salvation. Would you meet the need deep within the heart? Now I pray, and Lord, we know you will. You've promised that, and give great victory in Jesus' name. Amen.